You're listening to the Third Cup of Coffee podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. My name is Randy Volander. I'm the pastor of The Bridge, and I'm here with my friend Daniel Grenz. We're going to talk a little bit about what the Lord is doing in the way of dreams and kind of how we pastor through that and what we're hearing. So, Daniel, welcome. Glad to have you today.
Yeah, great to be with you, Randy.
So before we get too far into this, tell a little bit of your and Carla's story. How'd you end up in Kansas City? What was going on before then?
Yeah, so my wife Carla and I, we've been here in Kansas City for just about 5 years. Prior to that, we were in China for 7 years. And so we moved to China the fall of 2011, had a one-year-old when we went. We were there for 7 years working with the underground church, helping train Chinese missionaries and planting churches and started a house of prayer. And we moved back in 2018, went there with one kid, moved back with four. Now we have five kids. So we landed in KC thinking we'd be here 3 to 6 months max and then back overseas. And if you can do any amount of math, you know, we're beyond that point. But the Lord's really planted us here. He's connected us with you guys, with The Bridge. And we're blessed to be here. We're still doing a lot of trips in and out of Southeast Asia. But for this season of time, Kansas City is our home base.
I don't mean to point you one direction or the other, but I will tell you that we moved to Kansas City for a 2-year stint, and it'll be 20 years in August. So I know your heart's with the nations, but things happen and you turn around and go, where did life go?
And how many kids did you move here with?
Oh, that's a good point. We moved here with, let's see, Zion was born. So we had three when we got here, and now we have more than three.
More than three.
Now, we're in an unusual season at The Bridge, the church that we're at, and it's a season where the Lord is speaking to us in dreams, and we're setting aside time to kind of process that as a church family. And there's been a lot of interest in it from some friends of mine, friends of yours. So we just thought we'd get together and talk about what that looks like. This is who we're really talking to today. It would be maybe if you're at The Bridge and you have not caught any of these evening meetings. And so your church family is headlong into this and you just kind of don't know what to think or you just haven't been there. We want to kind of bring you up to speed. If you're someone in the area and this really strikes a chord in your heart, we want to talk to you. But also want to talk to pastors and leaders everywhere who might want to implement this as a way of kind of discerning what the Lord is saying to your group. One thing we've talked about a lot on Sunday mornings lately is moving from a pastor as a CEO model to more of an apostolic model of a church. And rather than Moses going up the mountain to get the tablets and coming back down and telling the church this is the way it is, that more vision would be released to a group of people and that collectively they would come together and say, this is who we are. And I can just say, as a pastor, it has been so helpful to be able to get up and preach some of those themes, knowing those themes have evolved out of a large group discussion over many, many nights. So, Daniel, can you kind of describe what those meetings look like for people so they have an understanding of what we're talking about?
Yeah, and let me just say first to what you were just mentioning, you know, as I've been sharing about what we're doing with people, initially, this idea of a group of people that gets together to talk about their dreams can seem both intimidating to some people. It can seem very
weird,
just off base, weird, you know, heretical even. And I think how you just framed it is such a good perspective that ultimately, we've hit a point where as a community, and you've really given leadership to this, is that we're saying the Lord is doing something new and we have to know what he's doing so that we can be in step, in obedience, led by the Spirit and one together in this. And I think you and I would both say this, that over these past weeks, since we've jumped into what we're calling Dreamstream, that we've experienced more oneness from those who have engaged in the conversation, I think the church as a whole, and we have discovered and heard the voice of God with more clarity than we have in the previous few years of our existence.
Absolutely. So, I'm struck by something that one young lady said. She said, it's felt like it's been community on fast forward.
Yeah. Yeah. So just for those who haven't been a part of it, we've been doing what we call Dream Stream, which essentially is we've gathered together in one of our homes and we say, who's had a dream? You know, and at the onset of this, we did give kind of a landing strip for what we were asking the Lord to speak to. And you really helped define that and just saying, we need direction for the bridge and where the Lord is leading us. That was kind of the target that we said, Lord, give us dreams about this. And then, you know, we began by gathering in a home and saying, who's had a dream that most likely they think is probably corporate and about what the Lord, what we've asked the Lord to talk to us about. So we began with 2 weeks where we did four nights a week, just kind of this immersion inauguration season of Dream Stream. And it's actually very simple. You know, we gather together, there's usually watermelon and popcorn, and it's now become a thing. If there's no watermelon or popcorn, it's not Dream Stream.
No dreams.
No dreams. And so we start there and then we take communion together and just realizing that all that we're doing, all that we're reaching for is because of Jesus and his work on the cross. And then the question gets asked, who's had a dream? And it's anywhere from, you know, five or six hands that go up to a few times no hands go up. And it's like, okay, what are we going to do? You know, but we see who's had the dream. And this has been, I think, one of the most significant parts for those who have joined is that they're realizing that God wants to talk to anybody and everybody who's asking him about the direction of this church, which, like you said, it's so unusual in that most churches function where the pastor is the CEO, he's the, you know, the Moses leader. And to realize the New Testament model is actually everybody is together, these living stones that can hear God, that can contribute. And so we've had 5-year-olds contribute dreams. We've had 20-year-olds bring the dreams. You've had a few dreams. I've had a few dreams. And it's really brought this togetherness and ownership that has been so significant to see. So we see who's had the dream, and then we'll take time to share the dream and we'll ask them questions. You know, what seemed significant to you? What does this person mean to you? How did you feel about the dream? You know, and then we just go around and people share thoughts on what different pieces might mean, what the main idea of the dream might look like. And we do that anywhere from a few minutes to, you know, 10, 15 minutes on a dream. And then we move on to the next dream. And this isn't a guarantee, and God doesn't have to do it this way. But most of the times that we've gathered, there are certain themes that all of the dreams from that night kind of build onto. Mm-hmm. And so we've kind of then looked for, okay, what's the theme the Lord's speaking? And how can we do the dream? What's he calling us to do? And how can we pray from that theme?
It's been remarkable. Like you said, the commonality, and it's not like everyone's having the same dream, although we've have had a couple times where two yep. people have had a dream, or this person has dreamed it and this person was in it and that person dreamed it from that. It's been phenomenal. Yeah. They would have never yeah. known that had we not sat down and had the conversation. Some people are going, well, this isn't happening in my life. You don't actually know. This might be yeah. happening, but unless, you know, short of watermelon and popcorn, how are you going to know? And so the sitting down and having the conversation, and what cracks me up is, you know, having done this now together, you know, 8, 10, 12 times, you start to develop your own language a little bit. And one yeah. of the phrases that's used is their secret dreams. Those are the people who didn't realize they had a dream. And then somebody starts talking about it and they realize, oh, I dreamed that last week, or I've got insight. We've had folks come into this and say, yeah, I don't think I'm going to have much to contribute, and ended up being some of the most valuable members, right. not even on the dreaming end of things, but on the inquisitive prodding of, hey, what might that mean? What does this mean? And I've found the questions to be super helpful in mm-hmm. thinking about people's own dreams. Yep. Super hard to evaluate your own dreams.
Yes.
You don't know if they came to you all at once. You don't know. It felt like you dreamed all night, but you slept 5 minutes. You know, it's just a weird thing. What are some good questions to ask people about their dreams, or how do you get people talking about that?
Yeah, I think the first step is, like you said, people come to these dream streams And they think, I'm not a dreamer. I don't have much to contribute. And one of the values of this whole thing that we're doing is that, like you said, our own dreams oftentimes don't make sense to us. And I think the Lord does it that way, where it actually requires the engagement one with another, where something gets unlocked and it's like, oh, the Lord actually might be speaking to me. But as you said, a lot of that happens just as we ask people questions. One of the questions sometimes we ask is, you know, if you were going to title this dream, what would you title it? And that helps people think through, okay, what's the main idea? Like, what is this dream actually about? Because a lot of times there, you know, there might be multiple scenes. There's 100 things going on at once. You're flying through the air, you're swimming through a river and all these things. And once you can kind of narrow in and say, well, this is probably the main idea, then that gives a good building block and you can look at the other elements. You know, I think if there are individuals asking the person, you know, who does that person represent to you? You know, if it's your father in the dream, sometimes it's Father God, et cetera. We've had a number of dreams with vehicles, you know, and it's either a, you know, a ministry, a community. And one of the things that we've noticed is that each individual, you know, you have your own dream language. A lot of times the Lord speaks to me through dreams where I'm on a basketball court, you know, and for other people, it's in a certain context. And so you have your personal dream language. But as we've started to gather, it's like the Lord is building this corporate dream language where we're recognizing, okay, this in one dream is appearing in another dream, and it probably means this. And we're having these people who are not part of the community show up in multiple dreams. So it's like the Lord is kind of building this corporate dream dictionary, so to speak. But just asking somebody, hey, who does this person represent? You know, how did you feel when you woke up? You know, was there a sense of nervousness, excitement? Those types of questions have helped.
Those questions really have drawn people into the conversation more, even the ones in the room. And we're seeing people who might not have spoken in the first meeting are jumping in with a question. What about this? What about this? Just from group dynamics, let me just say, pastors, just from group dynamics, this is good for your church. To have people sitting around talking about the dreams that they're having, it's, I have a really tight filter for weird. Like, I just, it doesn't freak me out. I've been there, seen it all. I just don't have time or patience for it. And I don't want to build something that, you can attract a lot of people with weird, because a lot of people who have had deep prophetic encounters that have been a little weird have been rejected by the church. And so if you want to run that flag up, you can build a mob out of people who are just there to share their weird experience. This is not it. Like, actually, this is kind of the opposite of that. The group serves almost as a governor on itself. I described it Sunday as, it's like riding in a cable car and every person has their hand on the cord that you can pull the brake and go, I don't think so. Like, anybody in the room has the authority to go, yeah, I don't think so. And the thing's got to stop and you have to reevaluate. And I have found that it stayed way closer to scripture than it might, that it has been more unified than you would expect, because you'd expect it to be all over the map, and that it has valued some of our, what you would think of our lesser members, and actually accentuated their value in the group. I've been working on filtering out what are our themes. And I mean, I've not done that in my own. As a group, we've talked about it and we've kind of learned these are the themes. And so I've been preaching the last 2 weeks and this coming week on the themes from this intense season. We're not going to do it all summer, but it's what I've been doing. Of, you know, 8-10 nights of dream stream, 2.5 hours a night, you know, we thought maybe 10 or 12 people would do this. We're having 50 people show up in a house, 50 to 60. That's a lot of input. Yeah. That's a lot of input. It's a lot of talking. It's a lot of dreams, but we've been able to reduce those down to about 5 or 6 themes that the Lord is saying to us. And some of those themes, I can think of one particularly that we talked about on Sunday, was given at the initiation of a 10-year-old boy.
Yeah.
you know, that said, this is the dream that I had. And it was profound. He's just kind of telling the story, and we're all going, wow. You know, I don't know very many other contexts in which the voice of a 10-year-old child can speak into the direction of a group, and it's held with the same weight as a 40-year-old. That doesn't mean the 10-year-old makes the decisions. You know, at the end of the day, I'm still tasked with getting up and saying, these are the themes and here's where we're going. But for someone, again, with a tight filter and kind of low tolerance for weird, this has been the antithesis of that. And it's been a ton of fun and great for the dynamic.
So let me ask you this, Randy, with that tight filter for weird and being a pastor of a new church where, you know, you kind of have to be mindful of what are we doing? What precedents are we setting? All of those pieces, you know, there's new people to the community engaging with them. What caused you or what led you to say, let's launch this, let's jump into this?
Mortal desperation. No, I mean maybe a little. I was growing very weary of every eye on me expecting for me to roll out the next big thing. You know, I've talked about the difficulties of being looked at as the Moses figure. You know, Moses goes up the mountain and it doesn't go too well back down at the bottom of the mountain. They end up building idols in the meantime, but he's under, you know, he comes back down. How do we know what the Lord said? How do you know where we got? There's a questioning. I wanted to bring people into the process. And it's lonely being the one that is expected to deliver the entire thought on your own. And so I'm the pastor. At the end of the day, I'm the one that has to stand up and either proclaim or not proclaim this or that. And I'm given that leeway, but I wanted more voices into the mix. And I was just very aware that I was not hearing the entire voice of the Lord. That's kind of a very presumptuous thing to assume. And that has been very true. Now, I will say that of what has been spoken and what has been dreamed, so much of it has just resonated with my heart. It's like I was hearing whispers and now I'm hearing shouts through the voice of someone else. And so it's not felt like it's gotten hijacked and now I just have to get up and, you know, paint the sign of whatever people said. But it's given me great confidence. I think I said Sunday, I'm preaching with a boldness and a transparency that I didn't have before, because in many cases, half the people in the room were in the room where we felt like this is what the Lord said.
Yeah.
You know, now there is the question of how do you bring those along who weren't in the room? You know, because if I'm getting six themes out of, you know, 10 or 12 nights of discussion, we're leaving a lot of information on the table. Mm-hmm. And so it might be a little hard for some people. They may look at that and go, oh, this is a little weird. Well, yeah, you weren't in the room. We wish you were. You were free to be in the room. It's open to anybody. But if I can't back those themes up that we feel that the Lord is saying with scripture, and this is what the word says, then that probably wasn't the voice of the Lord anyway. And so I intentionally, even in sharing these themes, I've only shared it three or four dreams. I haven't shared a ton of the dreams, because the point's not the dream. The point's the theme. The point is hearing the voice of the Lord.
Yep.
And so I think, you know, the last two messages, I could have preached those disconnected from, we got these from dreams. And I don't know that anybody would have known the difference.
No, I don't think so. You know, one of the things that really provokes me as a younger leader, just watching you through this journey, and I share this even for any, you know, leaders, pastors, small group leaders that would be thinking maybe we should jump into this, has been the, like you mentioned, the transparency that it has required on your part to say, I don't have the complete counsel of God. I don't have the full picture of where he's leading us, but I'm hungry and desperate to get there. And I think that's been key for all of us, is that the level of humility and hunger that you have expressed in saying, given the green light, hey, let's do these dream stream gatherings, is actually part of why we're getting so much from the Lord. Because he meets those who are humble, he draws near to the humble, and he comes to those that are hungry for him. And And I think everybody together has it's kind of given permission to say, man, we're desperate. We're hungry to hear from God. And it's exciting to get to be part of that journey. And, you know, like you said, there's people that haven't been there that maybe the tendency is to feel a little bit on the outside. But, you know, we've had new people, I think, almost every night that we've done this. We've done, I think, 9 or 10 of these gatherings. And it's been encouraging to see how somebody comes for the first time and they can jump right in. And so even if, you know, if you're part of our community and you're listening to this, and it's like, I haven't been part of things, I've missed it. You know, it's like, no, this is it's slow moving in the sense that you can get on at any point. You know, it's that trolley that has numerous stops. Every night's a stop. You can get on the trolley. And as Randy said, you've got that cord in your hand right from the beginning.
We had in our very first meeting, we had a guy in our church, a respected leader, who the group seemed to be going somewhere. And he just kind of like, I don't see it. I'm sorry. I, you know, and he's got a great heart. He wasn't being critical. He was just very legit. That guy has become one of the key people in sorting out what things mean. He hasn't shared a dream. He hasn't had one dream.
Right.
But he's asked great questions. And I think that part of him that made him go, wait a minute, I don't get it, actually makes him great at sorting out what things mean.
Yeah.
Because he's not a bandwagon guy. You really need all, he's not critical. He's not, he's actually very encouraging, but you need all of those people. He's kind of laughed at it. He said, I didn't think I brought anything to this. And I'm like, oh man, you can't hardly do this without you. You know,
we all give our ideas, then we get stuck and then we look at him and say, hey, what is all like, of this?
He's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Totally. And some of you may be listening and you're like, oh, wow, you get 50, 60 people to do this. You know, you have to understand, on a good Sunday morning, maybe 110 people, including kids. We're not a large church. It's not a huge number of people. And we expected it to be much smaller. It just speaks to the hunger for people. And they're not even hungry to say, oh, we're going to shape vision, so I'm going to get there and put my voice in. They're just hungry to hear from God.
Yeah.
It's...
I'll just say something to that point. I think that is the emphasis, is that we want to hear God however he's going to speak.
Right.
And I think from your journey, from our journey, we realize we're in an hour where he's doing what he said he would do in Acts 2, Joel 2, that he's going to speak through dreams and visions. You know, I'm thinking of, as you're talking about the story of Samuel as a young boy. And the Lord comes to him in the night, and it took 2-3 times. He goes to Eli, says, did you call me? And finally, all it took was an older leader to say, you have permission to hear God in the night, for him to say, here I am, Lord, speak. And that was the beginning of a journey for him, hearing the voice of God and being a prophetic witness to the heart and the word of God that shaped nations, that influenced kings. And, you know, I think we recognize we're in an hour where we need the voice of God, and he is speaking through dreams. So let's just lean into this and see what he might do.
Just a couple more thoughts. How do you walk? Because I always put myself in the position of the leader who's not doing this, going, how do I implement this? What do you do with the person who comes and brings a dream? How do you discern what's corporate and what's personal? Because not every dream is for everybody.
Right.
How do you sort that out?
That's a great question. I had a good friend who's a leader at another ministry here ask me that a couple of days ago. And it's hard to answer. You know, I think initially you look at what's the context, like who's in the dream, you know, and if it's just you, it's probably a personal dream. You know, one of the tips for us, you know, the thing that's tipped us off is, if there are multiple people from the bridge in a dream and we're moving somewhere together, that's probably the Lord identifying this as a dream for the community at large. But again, one of the beauties of this dream stream is that we're all learning together. You know, there's no dream experts, and I don't believe any of us ever will be, because I think one of the things the Lord is doing through this is causing us to reach for one another, to rely on one another. And so, people are starting now where before they share the dream to the whole group, if they're not sure, they'll reach out to one of their friends who's part of the church and process the dream a little bit. Husbands with wives, kids telling their parents the dream. And so the value of bouncing it off one another has been huge, just to get another set of ears to listen and say, does this seem personal? Does this seem corporate? And like you said, not every dream has elements for everybody. I think we've had a lot of dreams that are both end, where it's like, this part of it is probably more for you. This part of it is probably for us as a whole. And so it's okay to not limit it to this clean cut, all personal, all corporate. I think if we're in a posture where we're asking the Lord to speak and we're valuing stewarding dreams, what I mean by that is you wake up from the dream right away, you write it out, you spend time praying through it, sharing it with somebody. If we're in that journey, I want to believe that we can expect more often than not, our dreams are going to be from the Lord. And then as we begin to exercise that muscle of what does it mean, we grow in a little bit quicker of a sense of, is this personal, is this corporate? That wasn't a very clear answer, but I don't know if there is necessarily, it's context, it's journey, it's relationships that help figure it out.
And you've got it. You're really great at this. By the way, Daniel has led these meetings for us. My portion of this is to sit in the corner and eat popcorn and take notes. And so he's led this. And one thing you're really great at is it never feels like you feel pressured to make something out of a dream that's not there. And so there have been some dreams that have been shared and we've all kind of looked around and okay, all right. That isn't discouraging for people. It's actually confidence building for them to know, okay, I can share something and nobody's going to make something out of something that it's not. If it doesn't resonate with people, you know what? Maybe that was just personal. I don't know. And that doesn't mean you failed. You were asleep at the time. How did you fail? You were dreaming. Right. If we get into this idea that, okay, every dream we've got to pull a profound meaning out of, we actually demean the dreams that have profound meaning. When you strike one that's profound, you'll know.
Right. Yeah. And that's a good point. We've hit these points where, the dream is shared and we're kind of bouncing ideas of like, what does it mean this? Does it mean this? And then somebody says an idea and the whole room, it's kind of one of those aha moments where the witness of the Lord is like, that's it. That's what it means. But like you said, you don't find that with every dream. And so the phrase we say is, we take that dream, we don't throw it away, but we put it on a shelf. And maybe in a few months, somebody else has a dream that connects to that and now it makes sense. But I think that's such a key point that we don't have to find meaning immediately or even ever in every dream.
Right.
And that's one of the inviting parts of this whole process. When it's a prophetic word, it's like you kind of have to weigh, is this the Lord, is this not? And there's opportunity for discouragement and all of that. But like you said, with a dream, you didn't do anything wrong. You were sleeping and you're just sharing what you saw. And so it takes the personal weightiness of I have to get this right off of your shoulders and to just say, Lord, what you're going to speak, I'm going to hear. And if it's not you, we're going to move on.
Yeah. Well, before we close, I just want to throw this out to leaders that are listening to this going, man, I'd like to implement this. I think my people would jump on this. If you're going to do this as a leader, you have to be there. Don't farm this out entirely. You're like, well, Randy, you're farming it out. No, I mean, Daniel's leading most of these meetings. He's going to be traveling some. I'm going to lead some. Others are going to lead some. You don't have to lead the meeting, but you want to be there as much as you can for a couple of reasons. One, you're the pastor and you're the leader. And if your concern is if it's going to get off, then you have to be there to kind of like nudge it back around. But you want to be there to hear what's going on. You really want to hear what the Lord is saying to the people that you're shepherding, because they carry some of the responsibility of contributing to the whole. And I would say, we're it's kind of hard to determine when we started the bridge because it kind of evolved. Like we were, we had to come up with a name because we were sending a missionary, and it was just, we've done everything backwards. We have no regrets, but we've done everything backwards. It has been probably the most exciting season for me as a pastor and most fulfilling to sit and hear what the Lord is saying to the whole and have it resonate with my heart and affirm, okay, I think I'm on the right path because you're speaking to other people. And leaders and pastors, you don't want to miss that. If you're just looking at this going, oh, people would like this, we'll add it to the list of things we do or that we offer as an attractional thing, that's going to get weird in a second.
Yeah.
You want to be there because you want to glean from it. It's been super encouraging for me as a leader. So Daniel, thanks so much for grabbing some time and talking about this.
It's been fun.
Before we jump off, can you pray for folks that might be watching that the Lord would speak to them in dreams?
Yeah, I would love to. So Father, we thank you, God, that you are a dreamer. Lord, that you had a dream for each one of our lives and you wrapped our life around it, Lord. Thank you, God, that you have been speaking to us. Lord, you've been speaking to your people throughout the ages through dreams. Lord, revealing the secrets of your heart, revealing your counsel, your direction, even just who you are and how you feel about things, Lord. And so, Lord, I ask, God, that for each person listening, that you would increase your presence in their life through dreams in the night. God, through these kisses while they sleep, God, that you would speak to them about who they are, about who you are, about your plans for them. Lord, and for leaders who are looking at this and saying, man, I'm desperate to hear from God, to encounter him for our people, that you would draw these communities together as Dreamstream communities, that you'd release that gift of your presence, that gift of your voice in the night through dreams, and the grace to gather around over popcorn and watermelon and discuss them and discover your will, your wisdom, your goodness and kindness that you have for them wrapped up and hidden in dreams. Lord, you say that it's the glory of God to hide a matter, but the glory of kings to search it out. And so I ask God for those dreams that would lead those listening on a greater pursuit of discovering who you are and falling more in love with you. God, we say thank you for all you're doing, all that you're doing in the night through dreams. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.